Welcome to the Business Networking Radio Show with Linda Cloke and John Turner.
Well, okay, so what do you think about that song then?
Did you maybe pick the wrong choice? Did you make the wrong choice of song?
I wondered where that was going, Linda. I really wondered where that was going.
Well, the reason I chose that was because I thought it was really appropriate because we've got Halloween.
Yeah.
And then also, if you think about, like, we're always talking about exposure, visibility. That's what we're all about as networking. You know, that's what networking's all about. It's all about getting yourself out there. And what you do is you influence people, don't you? And effectively, it is like a spell. If you do it right. Yeah, because you're top of mind, you're in their heads.
But you said exposure, and I didn't know where that song was going.
It's a spooky song, isn't it? It's all about Halloween and, you know, put a spell on you. Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
I must admit, I thought it was the one from that film. What's the film with the witches in it?
Oh, there we go.
There's a film.
Wicked? Wicked?
No, it's not Wicked. Oh, God, my girls will tell me. Anyway, if anyone knows the film I'm thinking about, then that'd be really amazing.
If anybody knows what Linda's thinking about, that would be amazing.
That'd be totally amazing.
That's a box of frogs.
I know. Anyway, we're talking about mindset, ironically. You know, as we go into winter, what's your mindset like? My mum, bless her heart, used to get some real January blues. And I've got to say, sometimes on rainy days, I don't let him impact on me, but sometimes things do. I said to Jill yesterday, I've been feeling a bit like a wet lettuce, going from like firing all cylinders, and suddenly you do this nosedive and you just don't understand where it's come from.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And it's something that we speak about. I speak about to clients an awful lot, keeping that mindset right. And I think so many of us are working from home a lot of the time, and being in that darker space and not having the sunlight is absolutely key. But there are those chemicals in your brain, the dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin and endorphins. And there's things that you can do very easily and very cheaply to help you. I mean, you said, Linda, that you just decided to go out into the garden and do some gardening yesterday. Getting out in fresh air is absolutely key. Sometimes we think we're being very productive if we stay at our desk or stay at a certain task all the time. I don't think that's true. I think we need a break and a refresh. What about you, John?
I think in networking as well, I feel anyway that I feel like I always need to be on. Mm. It's like we always need to be on form and sort of always have a smile, always be, oh, it's John, he's always going to be in a good mood. It's like, yeah, but, you know, there's always going to be them days. You're going to have them days, and you need to find what works for you to make it not so much. I mean, I've got to say, this morning, I went to a networking meeting this morning, and the accountant and the, the accountant, the estate agent, the mortgage advisor, they were all doom and gloom because obviously, you know, we're a month away from the budget and it's all going to be horrible and bad and this, that, and the other. So, so you came out of the meeting in a really sort of like, kind of mood.
This is how I handle it, okay? Everybody has things going on in their life and things on their shoulders. It doesn't matter. You never know what you're going to wake up to one day. How I approach it, especially when I'm going to networking or I'm going out to see a client, or I'm going out to see anybody actually, I like to leave those troubles at the door. I literally make that as I shut my front door behind me and go and get in my car. I put some good music on, especially if I'm feeling a little bit low. Put some good music on and think, right, I'm going to put my best foot forward and go out there and be the best version of myself, because nobody else needs to listen to my troubles. There are times and places for that. So I'm talking in a business environment. Obviously, if I'm going out to see family or friends where I can talk, that's absolutely fine. But I think as business owners, we need to, you never know who you're going to meet at networking. And do you really want to come across as not the best version of yourself?
Yep.
Sometimes it might be better, if you're feeling really bad, not to go.
And do you believe in like attracts like, Jill? Because, I mean, one of the reasons I think it's good to leave it at your front door and not say, well, I'll drive there and then I'll change once I'm there, is because, you know, they do say that if you are feeling miserable or stressed or anything else, you attract those people to you on the road, and that's the last thing you want.
This idea came to me when so as you know, I was a wedding photographer, so as a wedding photographer, when you hit that road early in the morning, you've got a really long day ahead of you. Yep. You never know what's going to happen. And you've got to be in that right mindset. You have got to be. So I had my wedding playlist of songs that would take me through the different events of that day to keep my mindset right. And it was only on my way home after ringing my husband and saying, two cheese rolls and a pint of lager. That was waiting for me. That is what I needed.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, isn't it?
Yeah, I should have had Friendly 2 pints. Yeah, I should have had a lager. And then I would have a song on that would calm me down. But then I'd still get home and still download all the photos, make sure they were all right, etc. So I do think that we need to find the things that work for us. And if you've got something that works, share it with some others because it might give them an idea.
A few weeks ago at an SBC meeting, I started my bit because obviously I always get my bit as well as everyone else. And I just started it with, don't stop, never give up. Hold your head high and reach the top. Let the world see what you have got. Bring it all back to me. S Club 7 know what they're talking about. It's like the words to that song are so positive.
John, can you please learn the moves? Please.
I could do.
Oh, that would just, that would really, yeah, that would really cheer us up.
That'd be a skeleton.
Yeah, it would.
I would never share it with anyone. That'd be a skeleton.
So if anyone watches my TikTok or Instagram, I actually shared it on LinkedIn as well. We were going to reveal skeletons in all of our cupboards, but John and Jill haven't got any. They are total saints.
Well, quite boring. Really,
and maybe it's to do with mindset.
Or maybe as John and I was talking about, we're pretty open books and I always say to people, oh my God, something's come in my head. It's just about to come out my mouth. You're going to hear a story. Yeah. And so I do tell, the thing I can think of that's in a cupboard should not be broadcast on air. So, but if you want to speak to me personally at a networking event, please come and find me. My name's Jill Russell.
There are things, as we talked about, there are things that you'd class as bad. There are things that you would class as maybe a bit cheeky or, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, no, I just don't, I am an open book. I just can't, I can't think of anything that nobody knows, you know. Yeah, I'm from Liverpool. And so I've never robbed any tyres.
Does it make a difference where you come from, do you think?
Yeah, of course it does, yeah.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't robbed any tyres, though. So everyone's always like, thinks that's funny. It's like, you know, I didn't. It wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me. Yeah. Yeah. I was born in Leighton, East London. It's not a skeleton, but David Beckham's mum cut her hair. And, yeah, that's not a skeleton, though. But coming from where you come in East London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cannot see the relevance of that at all.
Well, why you can't see the relevance is because I'm not going to tell you the thing that makes that funny, and I'm not going to share it on air. I will share it with you afterwards.
No, we need to know what that is. Write that down. We need to remember that.
David Beckham's mum.
David Beckham's mum.
Okay, David Beckham's mum. I'm writing this down, listeners, so I don't forget it. So if anyone wants to know, then I will tell you in secret.
Absolutely. And what was your one?
Well, I can't share it now.
Why not?
Because it's a massive skeleton in the cupboard. Basically, it's my children don't know about it.
You've built this all up now, so you've got to do it.
Yeah, and you might inspire us. We might go, oh, that's what she means.
That sort of thing. Yeah, that's true, that. Yeah good point. Yeah.
No, because you said that you can't say about one of the jobs that you had on air because you thought it was inappropriate, and mine sort of ran those lines.
But then Jill might do that.
I don't mind sharing that because I think that is what I had to do. What I was not going to share is some of the stories that come from that. So, listeners, so I'm Jill Russell, and I was area manager for Ann Summers back in the day before the shops weren't around, and my God, have I got some stories. So, yeah, and I'm very proud. And we was just talking about when, as you moved up the levels in Ann Summers, you was given little tiny apples to go on your badge with a little bite out, like the Adam and Eve's apples. And I've still got mine, and I'm still really, really proud of them. And yeah, my whole family, kids included, helped me in that role. But the stories are not for air, but they are very funny.
Oh, well, that's good. So anyway, all right then, well, I will share mine. So basically, when I was a youngster in my teens, I modelled, and I was saying to the guys earlier that I was ill off school for a whole year in my second year of school. So my mum and dad were very, very protective. anyway, I was offered a modelling position to go and I would be in a national newspaper. Oh. So I was like, okay, so my dad took me and mum and dad actually, but took me up on the train. I hadn't been up to London before, so went up with him. And they asked my mum and dad to wait outside. So obviously my dad was like, I'm not going to wait outside. What's he going to ask you to do? Yeah. I mean, I was really just ridiculously innocent. So anyway, I did topless modelling.
Did you?
I did.
Well, there you go.
And I have never seen the photos. But one of the boys that I went to college with, whose dad worked in the newspaper, did see them and told me they were very good.
Well, there's a chat up line.
I have no idea. I didn't see him. I didn't see him in any news. I think my mum and dad would have died if that had happened. You know, they definitely would have, like, of shame.
That's a chat up line, that, isn't it? They look really good.
I know.
It's like, yeah. All right.
So there you are, listeners. I mean, you know, little innocent me. I was, I did top.
That is a decent clock. That is a decent skeleton, that, to be fair.
I know.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything like that.
No, I don't.
I think that's a real big skeleton, actually.
Yeah. Because... How do you feel now that you've actually said it out? Because you've obviously kept it, I was going to say, close to your chest.
But
I just think that there's so many things about me that lots of people don't know. B and I always used to say, share something somebody doesn't know about you. Yeah. And I can see why they said that, because the thing is, that'd be a good one for you. Mm. Because the thing is that it reveals something about somebody's character that you wouldn't think. So, you know, I'm who I am and lots of people wouldn't even think that I would do something like that. But I was saying to John earlier, you know, I had bright pink hair and a lot of people were really shocked that I did that.
Yeah.
Particularly the people who were queuing outside the bank, because I used to do all the collect 20 grand I used to collect nice. in a plastic bag and take it and distribute it to all the artists and crew on the Cat's Eyes production of TVS. But I used to go and stop my car outside the bank. The people in the queue used to watch to make sure there's no parking, people came by. When I had brown hair, when I had bright pink hair, they looked at me like there was something terribly wrong. They wouldn't watch my car. I had to go and park my car somewhere else and go for a longer walk.
Oh my goodness.
That's outrageous. So
the attitude was completely different because of the colour of my hair.
How weird is that?
It was totally weird. I mean, I was the same person, but I had to go and park my car, so I had a lot further to walk with that 20 grand. And when you think, I was like, what was I, 22?
Yeah.
And I was walking around with 20 grand in a plastic bag through Gillingham. Crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it really?
It does really make you think what you know, what was acceptable and not acceptable back in the day and how things have changed and
they'd
and
never do like that. Well, they don't pay anyone in cash now, do they? But that was
I think one of the worst ones, as I said to you earlier, one of the worst ones I had was that I had frosted tips in my hair.
Yes, that, sorry.
And honestly, it was before the...
You've got frosted tips in your hair now, John.
Well, yeah, no, they're not frosted. They're silver and, that's a different thing. But that was before the beard days. So I was northern with my shiny red skin because, you know, that's what northerners are. I think that's why Scousers put so much fake tan on, just to stop that. But, you know, I can say that because I'm a Scouser, I'm okay.
Yeah, you can say it.
yeah. But no, it was a look, and you know, my Claire, bless her, she hated it. And so I did only do it a couple of times, and then it was like, yeah, no, I'm gonna leave that phase behind me.
Yeah, see, I'm really I've never had like a different colour hair. I've never done anything like that. I'm very straight-laced, and yet I'm totally nuts. It's like sometimes I feel like a juxtaposition.
Yeah.
There's my character is very different from like the outside version of me.
I feel exactly the same.
Yeah?
Exactly the same. It's like sometimes you just think, do I want to be this person? And then it's just, and then people come into the room where I, and then all of a sudden that person just comes out again. And I'm like, Is that me or is this? It's a proper Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Don't you think we've all got a bit of that in us though?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, when we're talking about networking or going to see clients, etc., you know, I remember back in the day, you would sort of morph into whoever you needed to be.
Yep.
So you'd be a person, say,
definitely,
at school, yeah, and in front of the teachers. You'd be most probably totally different when you was with your friends. You'd be different when you started going to work or, you know, whatever you was doing. And, you know, I had a long time in sport, and that would be a completely different person as well. It was almost like I was all these different people.
Absolutely, like a chameleon.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It's like I'm totally different depending on the people.
And I think now I'm smiling to myself because I've realised recently that I'm now more of who actually Jill is. You sort of get me as I am. The grandchildren get me as I am. As scary as the older teenagers are finding that, it's like, oh God, here she comes. Yeah. Watch out. But I'm feeling okay about that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's age. I don't know. Maybe it's the things that happen to you in life along the way. And you go, actually, you know, it's okay just to be me. Mm. I think that's where I feel.
Yeah, sometimes you have to try and hide that. And you are right. I think the more you go on, the more you realise, no, you don't.
No.
Just be you and just be happy in your skin. Just be, you know, and then I've found that.
Yeah. And I think I'm finding that obviously when you go to networking events, you're speaking to people. That's absolutely normal. But, you know, I've been through that period of having severe PTSD where I couldn't speak to anybody. In fact, I remember Linda and Elle, you reached out to me after I got really ill. Mm. I didn't know I had severe PTSD. And Linda, she was very sneaky. They was like, oh, you've won a competition and we've got a gift voucher for you. I was like, you've done that. And we met at the local pet. And I remember because I come in and I was on crutches, I couldn't walk really well, and so that wasn't the person that were there. But and then again, actually, you reached out recently when after I've moved and, you know, I've been not on the scene, and we met at the Crescent Turner, and Elle and baby Millie was there, and again that started something else. So and now you've let the cat out of the bag and she's back. So you've got something to think of.
It's all your fault.
My poor family are like, oh my God, she's back. So thank you.
It's brilliant though, isn't it? It's brilliant. And it's funny how you touch people's lives. And I think networking is a massive part of that. I mean, look at Sharon Harvey with the bookkeeping. You know, how you've touched her life and how, you know, coming on the radio show touched her life and how I touched her life many years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think, and the same with John and I and you and John, you know, we've had that past, but because we are the people that we are, we've done good along the way. And when we meet somebody from the past, it's absolutely okay.
Yes, yeah.
You know, treat people as you want to be treated.
I generally find that. It's like, yes, I've done things wrong. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, there's been, you know, things that people probably don't like about me. It is what it is. I didn't do them out of malice or anything. I did them because, you know, maybe things were going wrong, or maybe it's just people make, you know, humans make mistakes.
And I think,
you know, do everything from a place of kindness, do everything from a place of, I could, you know, just even just stop in the car to let someone cross the road. It's silly little things like that where, you know, you see people and they park across there, or they're traveling up to a set of traffic lights and there's just enough room for them to end up across the crossing.
Mm.
Why have you done that?
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. There's no one going to get in front of you.
Yeah.
Why have you done that? It's like, there's no advantage. Just have a look, think about what you're doing and, you know, just be kind.
Yeah,
and
but don't you think that's to do with mindset as well, John? Because like a lot of the time, you don't know what's happened in someone's life.
No.
No, very true, very true.
You just don't know, do
people,
you?
People are generally in a state of, a bad state rather than sort of their natural, you know, the resting face. The blanked it out. See, like that.
You did a blank.
You know, people are just generally not unhappy. And I find that there's a lot of people like that nowadays. And it's like when I'm back in, you know, with a previous hat on, and I've said this before, dressing up as an elephant and going up to adults dressed up as Eddie the Elephant and trying to give them a high five. And you see their faces. They're walking along. They're chewing a wasp. They're in a really bad mood.
chewing a water bottle.
And then this 6.5 foot elephant goes over to them and goes, hiya, high five. And they're walking down the street, they're giggling, and then they pass on that smile and that laughter, they pass it on. Mm-hmm. And
I've never heard that story.
Have you not?
No.
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about. So I do the, I've done the last couple of carnivals. Eddie has come out of retirement, not for Education Life as was, but for Caremark over in Thanet.
Oh, right.
And so I've done it with them as Eddie, and we're walking along and you see people, elephant. Honestly, it is fantastic.
I love that. I love wearing a costume. I really do.
Well, I'm growing a costume right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
How about, could Eddie the Elephant do the S Club 7 dance?
Yeah.
Would that make you more comfortable?
Oh my God, yeah. Do you know, Eddie the Elephant has actually done the high jump.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's done the high jump. We went to an athletics event and there was loads of kids doing the high jump, and they said, will Eddie do the high jump? And I was like, yeah, all right.
Oh, sorry. What did you do with the trunk?
I bet you knocked the pole down. No, I was just thinking he must have knocked the pole down.
No.
Oh.
No, got over it. Did the Fosby flop.
I love that. But try and bring some joy to people's lives.
Exactly that.
I think even and actually, especially if you're not in a very good mood, when you do something for somebody else or you smile at somebody and they smile back, you know, I'm a terror for little kids that are going past, you know, you give them a little smile and whatever, and when the babies wave to you, or you know, they're sitting in the trolley. I love all of that, and it makes you feel so good. I mean, one of the things that they say is you should have at least 5 hugs a day. That doesn't have to be human hugs. It could be your cat, your dog, your elephant, whatever you've got.
I'm a hugger.
Yeah. So it actually makes you feel better. So actually going out and networking, hopefully, if you're doing it right, is going to make you feel so much better. Mm. I know it made me feel better. I come home and I was energized being around people, hearing their stories. Yeah. Just smiling at people, saying hello. Because you're at home, I mean, obviously I'm at home, I'm working, I'm on Zoom calls, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, yeah. You do get something off of that, obviously. But I think the in-person stuff.
It's not the same.
It's just way ahead.
It's another level.
It's not the same. And obviously during COVID, it did serve a purpose. But I think now we do still do 2 meetings online a week. And the numbers are a lot lower, but it's a more personal. People know that people who are coming along to their meetings know that the numbers are lower. That they're just there for a little bit of contact with the outside world.
Yeah, and it's important
for a short time, rather than sort of the time it takes to get wherever you're going, the cost of wherever you're going, the fuel and everything. Instead of that, 90 minutes, having 8 to 10 people having a chat, and then get on with your day.
Well, some of the communities that I work in as a consultant, have something called a community call, where people can come on in that community, say hi, and then, right, we're getting on with this today. This is the piece of work that we're going to do. And then they come, so they can stay on Zoom or they can come off, do the work, come back and go, like, this is what I've achieved. Yeah. So it's almost like giving yourself that pat on the back. And I do say that it's important to give, I'm going to do it now, give myself a pat on the back.
You
because,
that.
Yeah. You, because often nobody gives you that.
I did look at that when, especially during COVID, that we did look at having an online workspace. So it wasn't networking. Well,
no.
It was networking, but it was more a space that you could go to, and it'd almost be like someone in the back of, you know, you'd be getting on with your work.
Yeah.
So and so would be getting on. So the three of us could all be online and we'd all just be getting on. And then all of a sudden it'd be like, oh, Linda, can you have a look at this for us?
Yeah.
Or, Jill, do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't make you a cup of tea, but I'm going to go make one. And you can make one. And it's like, but it's just that little bit of something.
And accountability, because I think one of the things that definitely has come to the fore recently for those people who are working from home, and I know not all of our listeners do that, because a lot of them are out and about doing stuff, but is that procrastination. And I think when you're at home in front of your computer working, those mind monkeys can really get you, and you can start not being able to think and make decisions. Whereas if you've given yourself a time to make those decisions, or you've shared something with somebody who's like, I want to get this piece of work done, yeah, and I'm going to do it by the end of this call, it just helps. It's sharing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like doing your homework.
Mm. So Jill, you're reading a book that is about mindset. So I think, I mean, one of the things about mindset is definitely about you know, having that growth mind attitude and personal development is a massive part of that. I mean, I'm actually reading a book about the ancients at the moment, which is talking about geography and yeah, and stuff like that, you know, stones and the layout of the world. So, you know, which loads of people would look at and say, oh my God, that's so boring. And a lot of people might think about self-development books, but what's this one you're reading now?
Well, I really love reading self-development books. That is my thing. This one's called The Dose Effect, D-O-S-E Effect by TJ Power. He's TJ's, I've been fortunate enough to meet TJ and also do one of his courses on this. And he's a neuroscientist and he says, unlock your brain's four key chemicals and discover how you can make a difference to your daily actions. So you've got the dopamine, which helps you to get motivated and stay driven, your oxytocin to help you build deeper connections with others, serotonin to boost your energy and your mood, and your endorphins to de-stress and find calm. And this book is absolutely fantastic. It was, I think it was in the Telegraphed bestsellers. What I love about it, we was laughing about this, it's a big book, it's got pictures and it's got really big writing and it's got easy things that you can do. So they talk about things like making sure, and we know some of this, we get out in nature, give people a hug, they can do all sorts of things to you. But also look at your routine, look at your bedtime routine, look at your morning routine. Make sure that you're not having that phone by your bed. What are you eating? Where are you walking? The power of cold and the power of heat. So if you, in the morning, if you can have a cold shower, I can't, that's not something I can do. But, you know, you have a lot of those people, two of our daughters have done the, where you get in that cold ice bath, what's it called?
I know, yeah. I've done it after a sauna.
Yeah, so this is where you actually are outside and you get immersed. Mm. Marie did it for research on one of her romantic books. She said, I've got to do this to do that. That was great for your mind. But also heat. Now, this is something, I don't know if, you know, I used to say, oh, I get cold in my bones. Well, especially in the winter, if you're getting cold and you don't like it, it's important to be in a warm, cozy atmosphere. So have a warm bath, keep yourself warm. Think about all the things that you can do that are going to make your mindset better, because it's in our control. We decide whether we're going to keep watching the telly and then go on our phone, doom scrolling before we go to bed. That's not good for your sleep.
The other thing I think that's quite important is with some of the books that I've read, is you were telling us a story about someone earlier before the show, and it's, you've got to not try and think what other people are thinking, because they're probably not thinking what you think they're thinking.
Mm.
You know, and that I think is really, really important for mindset, because if you think everyone in the room is looking at you and thinking, oh my God, she's speaking for too long, or she's doing this or she's doing that, then it just messes with your head. It
affects your confidence.
There's the saying, if you assume, you make a donkey out of you and me.
Oh, absolutely. But everybody tends to think,
but you do. Everyone does. I think it's a human thing. It's a human trait. Some people do it more than others, but we all do it to a certain extent, that you're not going to think positive thoughts in a situation like that. And it's one of the worst things about being a human, to be honest. It's because it's just that. I really do wish that we didn't have such negative thoughts. Sometimes, and you just think, no, why aren't I being positive in this moment? There's no reason for me to be negative, but you do. You have that moment. You go, yeah, people are thinking you've talked for too long, or what you've spoken about is rubbish today, but it wasn't. It wasn't rubbish. Actually, there was value in it, and you've what you've said, even if it was rubbish, it's not rubbish every time. And it's like, you know, and actually you can learn from it. So did you say something that maybe wasn't right, or did you say something?
Mm.
Learn from it.
I was talking to Steph Nicholson. We came out at the Rookie Club the other night, and I said to her, I was given the opportunity to speak. I said, and I just went, duh, 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 and she went, she said, I know. And I said, I should have said this, I should have said that, you know, I should have, because it's there. They started in October 2024, so did we.
Mm.
So I should have said, well, it's our birthday in October as well. We've been going for a year. I didn't even mention that. And I was kicking myself afterwards. And she went, Lynn, we all do that. And yeah. I thought, that's great, you know, because you've got someone, they've just started networking business, and and she's sort of giving me advice, and I've been networking for 35 years. How lovely is that? You know, and
I think that's a really important thing we should all remember when we go to an event, when we go to networking or anywhere where there's people, if you've listened to them or seen them, you know, not don't pay them a compliment just to pay them a compliment, but say something nice. Yeah. You know, if you see somebody that's a little, you know, that's struggling a little bit, take that time to have a chat with them. Be kind, as yeah. John said, you know, take that situation to not blow smoke up there, which I'm not allowed to say. Sorry about that.
Backside. Backside. You can say
thank
that.
You very much. But, you know, be honest with them, but be kind.
And but don't you think a lot of people, Jill, think that we all are confident in what we've said and we don't have those self-doubts? You know, I think a lot of...
See, that in itself is self-doubt.
It is, isn't
that
it?
In itself, you're thinking that people think. And he's like, no.
Yeah, they don't necessarily think. That's true.
No one thinks that. We're human.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're in a room. Like, we've got, like, tomorrow, we've got the Networkers Network event at Edenwood. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Am I going to be up there and someone's going to say something and I'm going to probably give a silly answer, or you're going to give a silly answer, or and then we'll go, oh, do you know what? Yeah, that might happen. Yeah. It might not. We don't know. But if you tell yourself, this is one thing, if you tell yourself something's going to happen, it will happen.
Absolutely.
If you tell yourself it won't happen, it might not. And it's like, actually, you know, you're in control of that. You're in control. If you tell yourself it's going to happen, it will.
Well, what I heard was, if you tell yourself it will, or if you tell yourself it won't, it will, because you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So you're best off just not thinking about it, because if you don't think about it, then it will just run smoothly.
I prefer to say, set your intention.
Yeah.
So set your intention that it's going to go right. Set your intention that that is going to happen. Because then you're on that forward trajectory to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really nice thing to do. And often when I'm setting my intentions, because some of my intentions are a little bit strange, and I don't share them with everybody, because they are a little bit strange, but things I want to do. And then I give myself a little smile because I think, well, you know, I'm just trying to do my best.
Mm.
I'm just trying to do my best. And whatever happens, yeah.
Exactly.
Whatever happens is going to be okay. We will get through this, you know. I think just go in with that. I think all three of us are very heart-led.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very much so, yeah.
Very heart-led. And we was talking about this earlier, that, you know, sometimes we can attract people to us that look at us as easy targets. Yeah. But we do have our boundaries, and we do have, you know, sometimes people slip through those boundaries. But we've all decided that we stay in the lane that we are, being kind, thoughtful, caring, good sense of humour. We love us. I'm not sure whether any of our senses of humours are good, but we love to laugh. And actually, laughter is one of the dose effects that makes you feel better.
Have you heard of laughing therapy?
No.
It's a thing where you just laugh. Then there's no reason for you laughing. What you're not laughing at anything, but if you do it, apparently if you just laugh, then you'll make yourself laugh because you're laughing, and then it just does. It's self-perpetuates, and then all of a sudden, but it's, as you said, it's the endorphins that come from that.
Yeah.
Because your brain will be tricked into you're laughing, so therefore happy thoughts.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's why you've both got so many children, because children are really good at making you laugh.
I don't think you studied how children are made. It's okay. Not by laughing, okay? It is definitely not by laughing.
The telly was broke. And don't tell Claire I said that.
Yeah, but they do make you smile, don't they? Yeah. And I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the great-grandchildren or the grandchildren. Or,
I haven't got there yet.
No. So, it's, I mean, you know, my grandchildren make me smile all the time, some of the things they come out with.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got little stories. I mean, we actually got told to quieten down the other evening after a networking event. There was only four of us.
I'm still very upset you won't tell me what that was about.
Oh, John. Honestly, and we just laughed till we cried, and literally we said, oh, you know, could you quieten down, please? But we were just absolutely in fits.
It was all Jill. I mean, me, Steph and Colette were just sitting there cracked up.
I can believe that.
And the thing is, when you're laughing, you have this little burst. It's like, when it's woman, it's like a little scream as well.
I've got to say, I don't have that.
No.
You might when you hear this story, I'll tell you. Yeah. It's just,
oh, dear, is that you going to tell me?
Oh, no.
Let's change the subject. So have you got a book that you find inspirational, like The Dose Effect for Jill?
The one book that I've read many times is Who Moved My Cheese?
Oh, yes.
That is such a good book.
Very good book.
That is such, because I've read it. So I've read it just after Claire lost. We lost a baby at 17 weeks and she had to give birth, and that was a really horrible time. Yeah. But I read it in the aftermath of that. I read it when we'd lost everything, and I've read it when we've been in a decent place. I've read it recently. And so it's amazing. It's exactly the same words, but your brain is telling you a different thing. So you're reading it differently.
Depending on your situation.
Yeah. So it takes into, because basically you've got four, that you've got two mice and two sort of little, I don't even know, things. And basically they've all got habits. And so the mice are always going to the cheese. And so one of them is going to this pile of cheese. It's always there. The other one's thinking about the bigger picture. And he's going, well, this pile of cheese is going to be gone if we don't like deal with it. So the other one's gone looking for other cheese. And so this one keeps going, and so then they end up splitting up, and so one carries on going to that one, and the other one goes off looking for other cheese. Mm. Honestly, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, I always remember it when it came out. It was around the time Trivial Pursuit was out as well. Do you remember when Trivial Pursuit started to be a game? Because that was like little pieces of cheese and stuff, wasn't it? So that's a great book, and also the fact that's really stood the test of time, because you're going back to it, but it's almost like you know that's there.
Yep.
Read, you know, not for when you need it. That's a really,
I've read it four times. Mm. But the thing as well, it's quite short. So it's a 2 or 3 hour read. So it's not a long book. So you get into it, it's a few hours and then you're done. And then it's the message, the power that behind the message that it comes. And I've just started reading the Diary of a CEO from Stephen Bartlett.
Yeah, right.
I've only just started that one. So
yeah. Some great tips. Have you read that one?
No, not yet. No, right. I've just literally got a pile of books on the side, and it is like that. You know, you want to dip in and and want to do everything. I think it's, as you say, it's finding the right book for the right moment.
Yeah,
and what I do. Though is I annotate my books, the personal development books now. I annotate those and put post-it notes in them, because I think...
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, because I think, you know, you'll get gold dust from books. Not maybe all the way through, but there'll be something in there.
There'll be little passages of something.
Yeah, and when I'm working in communities and working with business owners, I can then literally go, that's what I want to tell you. That's good for that moment. This is, you know, sharing that knowledge. And I think that's, as entrepreneurs, we really, really do need to have some continual personal development. You need to be learning all the time.
Have you ever read one red paperclip? One red paperclip?
Nope. Never heard of that.
So one red paperclip. And for entrepreneurs, I would advise all entrepreneurs to read this one red paperclip. This fella... in America had an idea, and basically he traded up from a paperclip to a house, like a real house. And he traded up. So he had a paperclip and he traded it for a pencil or I can't remember what it was, but he traded it for something that was a bit better. But someone who needed a paperclip said, oh, I'll give you this pencil for this. And then the pencil, he then traded it with someone for a pen. And then the pen, he traded, and he got up to, I think there was one bit in it. No, I'm not going to give it away.
No, don't give it away.
Because there's one bit where he's sort of on the edge of just giving up, because he's got so far, and he's not going to make the jump until someone desperately wants what he's got.
Goodness.
Yeah. I think I have heard that story. Definitely heard the story.
But when you think about tying that in with being an entrepreneur, you've got to think about, like, so from our point of view, we've got our networking, and what does it mean to have one meeting? What does it mean to have two meetings, three meetings, four meetings? I mean, you know, I've now got 12 meetings, and that's really good, but I want 20. And it's like, so the drive for me is to be UK wide. And it's like, so how do I get there? It's like, you know, so for him, it's going from a paperclip to a house. He didn't do it in one step. He did it in about 50 steps more, however many it was. Mm. But and it's finding how you can benefit yourself along the way and how you're going to make that, how you're going to make the next jump.
It's interesting because we're looking at models you can use, and we're looking at, you know, we looked at the BNI model where you've got someone in, you know, doing it for you, basically. The businesses go in and do it for you. Then you look at the model of licensing. Then you look at the model of franchising. Then you look at the model of, I suppose, business clubs is sort of the same as BNI, but not. And then you've got, what was it, 4N? They had businesses that did it, didn't they? Businesses didn't run that.
No, they had it all in house. So they had a whole system, and then they had a regional leader and an area. I was area leader.
Oh right, okay.
And so yeah, basically the regional leader would get paid for the area.
Yeah.
And the area leader would get, like, so I'd got free breakfast and things like that to go to all the meetings and help run them and grow them and everything else. But yeah, so they'd have, but everything was in house because the different with their model, and similar to what we're offering, is that you can go wherever you want. So you could go to a meeting in Cornwall, then you could go to a meeting in Newcastle, and then you could go to a meeting in Ramsgate.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
You could go wherever you wanted to. So there was no, like some of the groups where you've got one group that you go to and that's the end of it, or you can join a second one if you want to.
What do you call that?
I don't know what the framework model name is for that.
No.
But while we're talking about 4N, can I just say so pleased that... Brad Burton's online stalker has been jailed.
Yep.
Unfortunately, her friend has started, and LinkedIn has not taken her down. Mm. So, if there'll be lots of you out there that will know 4N and remember Brad Burton, and so Panorama Channel 4, you can see all about the online stalking and the LinkedIn and how it affected him and his business and his career, and still doing it. But, you know, shout out to Brad. We're all sending you a hug.
Absolutely.
Keep going, mate.
Yeah. I was talking with Brad the other day. I was actually at the Now What the year before.
Ah, right.
So when it first came up on Panorama, that she was at one of them, and it was at Villa Park. And it was like, so he must have done, I don't remember him doing two at Villa Park, but he must have done. And it was like, oh my God, I was there. And it was, I was there the year before.
Yeah.
And it was quite incredible. But I mean, what an amazing thing to go to, but what people can do. Again, coming back to the, you know, why? You know, what?
Why? And why?
There's obviously going to be reasons why she's done that, but it's.
Yeah, she's not well, but, you know, LinkedIn, take it down.
Yeah, but she's got a friend doing it now as well. So you've got two people that aren't well.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it is strange. But no, I was talking to Brad the other day, and he's starting to get going again, and you know, which is really good.
He's got some great courses as well, motivational leader, and he's a great speaker. If anybody's looking for a speaker,
absolutely.
He will definitely rock the room.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right, I do want to go over now to giving people some shout outs, and also in regards to events. So we've got our Dartford event at Brown's this evening, looking great. We've got 5 visitors in the room and 1 new member, which is absolutely amazing. Brilliant. Well done. We're consistently getting a large amount of visitors come to our events, and I think that's because it's always open to visitors and they can come to as many as they like. Your visitors can come to as many as they like, can they? With John, that is the same model. They can come to as many events as they like. Next week, we've got our Whitstable Walk On, which is a seaside walk, which is always fantastic. I've got a note here that Purple Cow is on. Is Steve Baker still?
Yeah, Purple Cow is on the first Tuesday of each month. That's at the London Golf Club.
Yeah, so Tuesday the 4th, Steve Baker's doing Purple Cow, so just a shout out to him. We're at Avenues Tennis in Medway on Tuesday the 4th. And then we've got our second meeting, actually, at Sidcup on Wednesday the 5th. So that'd be really good. And there's a Chamber Connect meeting on Thursday the 6th. And then we've got our business club with Vicky Richmond on the 7th. But this Friday, funnily enough, we've got Claire Noyle talking about mindset for business.
Oh, that's great. I've got a little shout out for Friday the 7th. That is the Swale Food Bank open networking from 1 till 3. That's a free event, and there's refreshments there, and that's being held at Hempstead House, London Road, Bapchild, Sitting Bull 1 to 3. You will need to get a ticket. So if anybody wants a ticket for that, please get in touch. That's Jill Russell. And you can find me on LinkedIn or on NetHub.
That's brilliant. And awesome. Then just a shout out for Aisha. We are Beams. Beams of Joy Festive Networking Event, 11th of December, 6:30, Ebbsfleet FC. Book on the We Are Beams charity website. Then you've got Ross Friday, Dr. Ross Friday. This is really appropriate for Halloween. So what makes someone commit murder? Could you? So he does a really different show. It's actually making me go cold. So true crimes fans, this is your chance to experience the live show that keeps selling out. After years of lecturing on forensic psychology, serial killers and criminal profiling at the University of Greenwich, Dr. Friday is bringing his darkly fascinating insights to life on stage. The show is called Getting Away with Murder. It's at Avenue Theatre, Sitting Bull, on Saturday the 8th of November at 7 p.m. So it's hugely entertaining, deliciously dark and endlessly fascinating.
Oh, I love true. I love all that.
So what really drives someone to kill? How profilers and detectives read crime scenes? Why some murders are solved and others remain unsolved? Every previous show has sold out and over half the tickets for the November one are already gone. Not suitable for under 15. Don't book out. Book now at drfriday.co.uk. And then finally for shout outs, we've got the lovely Steph and Lisa. They're running their Pints and Prosecco evening on Thursday the 20th of November at the Ship and Trades, which is a great location. 6:30 p.m. Really nice, friendly event, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Definitely
yeah,
great for conversation, same yeah. as John's. So, John, what have you got?
Okay, so I've got some shout outs. So Lisa, who is normally here with me as my co-host. So Lisa from Powered by Travel, making trip planning simple. No hidden charges. Contact Lisa to book your next holiday. Chad has said a reminder about the Whitfield Hall Christmas fair. That's right, Christmas fair. just put it out there. We are now nearly at November, so I'm allowed to start really getting excited about Christmas. Mm. So there's going to be lots going on there with Chad is bringing retro and statement jewellery and Mia Mora. So she's going to be trying to put them two things together in packs. We've also got one of the ones. So we've got another one as well, which is also on the 1st of November, which is a Halloween party at the Riverside. So Michelle from MP Environmental is putting on a Halloween party in aid of community driving school. So what John does at community driving school is incredible. So they're raising money for that. It's only 15 quid a ticket and it's on this Saturday. There are still tickets available. We've got the amazing Carl Dawson singing as well at that.
So. I wanted to come to that, but I'm babysitting.
Yeah, I'm in London, unfortunately. But there will be lots of people there and, yeah, great opportunity to get out there and boogie, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lovely venue as well, isn't it? Riverside
Fabulous
Church.
Venue.
Yeah.
Really, really nice. Yeah. And then I've got Wave Community Bank. So Jen Sutton, Wave Community Bank are up for the Invicta Chamber Customer Service Award. So a shout out to the amazing team behind the scenes because they've been doing a lot of work over there. They're helping so many people, which they're really absolutely amazing. Who else? Let me see. Kenny from Slate, helping your business flourish with technical solutions to suit you. They do all IT, AV and all of that sort of stuff, all that jazz. So, Kenny and the team over there, brilliant. And that's it for the minute. In terms of SBC meetings, this was a quiet week this for me because obviously it's a full week of week five. We don't do anything in week five of the month. So starting again next week, we've got Thanet on Tuesday the 4th. We've got Ashford on Wednesday the 5th. And Whitstable on the 6th on Thursday. The following week, we're back at Avenue Tennis on the 11th. Canterbury is on the 18th of November. Dover on the 19th. And our first Gravesend meeting, I think, is going to be on the 20th. We just need to confirm that. But we're launching Gravesend.
Is that 7 a.m.?
It's 7:15, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. So really looking forward to that.
Sounds like there's going to be good sausages at that one.
I think there will be, yeah. Yeah, cooked on
the fire. Gravesend's known for its good sausages.
Absolutely. Hashtag sausagegate. but no, it'll be cooked on the fire.
So, oh, nice. Yeah, nice.
It's going to be a slightly different situation over there, but yeah.
And where do you meet for the Whitstable one?
Whitstable's at the Riverside.
Morning?
So 7:15. So not as offensive as some of the others, but yeah, we are starting to look at, that's another thing. Thank you for that. You've just reminded me. We are changing the time of the deal meeting. Deal is on the 28th of November, and that's going to be moving to 9:15. So we're going to be starting to do some meetings that, so that people who go to the school runs and also people who just don't like getting out of bed early, then for meetings for them people as well.
Yeah, that's really important, isn't it? Because so many of our business owners have become entrepreneurs because of childcare challenges. So being able to go to a meeting after the school run is...
I've had in the couple of years we've been doing this back out in the real world after COVID, I would say I've spoken to at least 100 people who have said, I can't because of childcare. So, you know, well, let's see if that's, if that's true. And hopefully it gives people the option to get out there and network when they don't necessarily have the opportunity to. They might only do evening meetings because they can't do morning ones. Well, let's offer them a morning one.
Yeah,
we're doing the same. I mean, so with the franchises, so, you know, with CT Franchise, so we've got the 10:30 one in Whitstable. Our Canterbury one is going to be a 10:30 one. So we're going to do three 10:30 starts and three evening starts. So it'd be three from 6:30 and three from 10:30 in the morning, which give people chance to, you know, get themselves sorted and get there. So it's different. It's funny, isn't it? The different times people choose, whether either you go for the 9:30, then come straight from the school run, there.
Yeah.
But I think it's trying those different things to see what suits everyone best, isn't it?
Well, I've found a lot recently that actually be a bit more flexible. There's so many organisations out there in all different things, not just networking, but all different things.
Mm.
And they're so rigid. It's like, listen to the feedback.
Yeah.
Mm. Have a listen. Mm. What are people saying? Should you try something new? And, you know, the people who have been speaking to me, the people who I've been getting the feedback from, there's enough people out there that want a 9:15 start.
Absolutely. So. And I think the thing is, though, it's still important to service those people like Ian Wade, for example, who wants to come to the earlier morning.
Absolutely.
Because he wants to get back and get on with his day.
I think it depends in what sort of industry you're in, how you're working, when you go and see your clients.
Yeah, I also feel that with the 9:15 one, there's going to be a lot more people who are in the trade. So we don't get that many trades because of the time that we've put ourselves in. So you've got your B&Is and your Bobs that start at 6 o'clock or 6:30. They're finished at 8:30. So the trades love that because they want to be on the tools before 9 o'clock. That's fine. That works really well for them. But actually there's some of them where they can get the lads working or, you know, they can get the team working.
And then get back out.
And then they can get back out to networking. So it goes both ways. So they could be out on the job at 8:30, let's say, and then get them sorted, all done and dusted by 9 o'clock. They're all doing what they need to do and you can get to the meeting for 9:15.
That's brilliant. We've actually had another shout out request from Sharon Harvey. So she said, absolutely loving the show, SLF bookkeeping services, supporting startups to grow in businesses, keep their finances in perfect balance.
Oh, Sharon told an amazing story at the Synergy Networking event that she had us all laughing with how she helps her clients. Have you heard this? I've got to share this because this is so funny. So, sorry, Sharon, she's still suffering with a broken toe. It ended up, so there is a software called Apron, which you can use in your business for capturing receipts, etc. But they was doing an offer and Sharon was helping her clients by telling them about this offer to get this Apron card. And so Sharon got the Apron card. The idea was you load it and then you put £100 on it and you spend something and then they give you £100. And that all went very nicely. And I got my £100. I was absolutely fine. Sharon decided to spend hers or some money on a walking mat. So I don't know if you've seen these things. So you can put it under your desk and you can walk, you know, get your steps in. However, Sharon put it up against the wall in the box and somebody, one of her friends, called her to make a quick dash to the pub to meet, and Sharon went past it, clipped, tripped and broke her toe.
Oh, no.
On that. However, Sharon did get to the pub. She was in extreme agony with her toe, but she did a LinkedIn post and put #apron, #the walking machine makers, and they both commented on that. So telling a story... Wow, yeah, words. About how you help your clients get more money.
Love that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's good. How many times, this was really important actually. You know, we was talking about sharing something that nobody knows about you.
Mm.
Yeah, that's quite a hard thing to put on LinkedIn because, you know, again, you could go, oh, what are people going to think? But I was really pleased to see that. And actually tagging in the companies, they were really pleased to see that.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's given them more exposure.
Absolutely. But you do also find that when you do share something personal, you get a lot more comments.
Yeah.
You get a lot more engagement, which is strange because there was a time when people complaining about LinkedIn saying, well, it's meant to be for business, like it's meant to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, to some degree, I think that the thing is, we're taught that people need to know you on a personal level. That's how you build trust. They know a bit of your history. And that's really where LinkedIn comes into its own.
Yeah,
You need both.
You need
both. But you need to know the people behind the organisation, but you also need to know what's going on in the business. So it's that fine line between not being too much like Facebook, because Facebook's personal and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not doing too much of that, but it's also not doing too much salesy, businessy.
It is that mix. And yeah. I think, you know, your LinkedIn profile and what goes on there. I had a prospect meeting the other day and the person had gone through everything in my LinkedIn. In fact, they most probably knew more about me than I did because I'd forgotten some of the things I put on there. And they really asked me about all of it.
Yeah.
And I think depending on what sector that you're in, people are going to really look into you.
Mm.
Yeah, before they make that decision to even have that meeting with you. So, yeah, which reminds me, I must read my LinkedIn and see what I've put on there. It's all true, but there could be some things that I need to add.
Right, listeners, we're going to go to a break now and just play some adverts and things like that. So the next song, see if you want to dedicate it to me or Jill.
Come back after.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer websites, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Linda Cloak on the Business Networking Show.
Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers? Security worries? Lost files? Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely and stress-free. Call 0179 5342362 now and get your IT sorted.
Echoed voices in the night. She's a restless spirit on an endless flight.
Ooh, witchy woman, see how high she flies. Ooh, witchy woman, she got the moon in her eyes.
We'll be right back. been sleeping in the devil's bed. And there's some rumors going around. Someone's underground. She can lock you in the night time till your skin turns red. Ooh, witchy woman, see how she flies. Ooh, witchy woman, she got the moon in her eyes.
At Absolute Protection Group, we specialise in domestic, commercial and industrial electrical, fire and security systems, ensuring the highest quality of service and safety for all your needs. We provide everything from design installations to repairs for homes and businesses alike. We have a 24-hour call-out service to get you up and running as soon as possible. Whether you need a simple lighting upgrade, a complete rewire, or emergency electrical services, every project meets industry standards. Let us be your trusted partner in creating safe and reliable electrical systems tailored to your specific requirements. Contact us today for a consultation. As if you want protection, you want absolute protection. Go to absolute-group.co.uk or call 01622 437838. You're listening to the Business Networking Show with Linda Cloke, John Turner and Jill Russell.
Well, who's the witchy woman?
We both looked at John.
It turns out it's me.
Do you like Halloween? Is it something that you celebrate?
No.
No, not really. I mean, I bought 3 bags of sweets, yeah, right, to give to the children when they come and knock on the door. Then I realised that I've got no pumpkins or anything. I've got nothing, no stickers on the window, nothing. So no one's going to knock on my door, because that's the thing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I ate the two bags of chocolate.
You should have brought the sweets in here. That's rude, isn't it?
But I don't like the Haribos, so I've left them in there. So I thought, well, if anyone does knock on the door, at least I have got
something. Yeah.
John, have you got her address? You could go and knock
I'll go and knock on the door. Trick or treat.
Oh, God. So we had 2 topics we were going to cover today. One was obviously mindset and self-care. As I say, we've got the Business Academy with Claire Noyell, and she's on at 12:30. Live on Facebook and live on LinkedIn talking about that. But the other thing that John put forward that we should talk about is about collaboration and the benefits of it. So what was your idea behind that, the power of it, John?
Well, obviously, both of our groups are very collaborative. I know that you've got a bit of a situation with lock-ins and lockouts and that sort of thing, but more so, I think that there's a lot more opportunity when you've got, you know, the groups where there's no lockouts. I think, you know,
strangely enough, so we have got a lockout situation in Dartford, and the electrician there locked it out for electrician and solar energy. And the guy from Medway said, "Can I come along?" And I asked the guy in Dartford, and I said, "Is it all right?" And he said, "Yeah, okay." And then he said to me, "Let as many electricians come as you like."
So he completely
now. Well, he's just locked it out for solar energy but the electrician, he doesn't want to lock out electric.
Well, no, because they work together.
Exactly.
This is it. And that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing that I've never understood in all of my networking, that when they do lockouts, obviously, I was saying this the other day, I think that one of the big reasons for setting up Simply Business Club in the very, very start was kind of a bit of a selfish thing for me to get networking. Because I knew the power of networking, I knew how good it was, but I was being rejected from groups because I was a graphic and web designer, and most groups have got one. I even got rejected by a printer once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because
the printer does a little bit of design work, and you're like,
"But you could."
Are you not seeing the bigger picture? I don't print.
Yeah.
I work with print partners. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to use your services. It's like, you know, mind blown. But yeah, unfortunately for them, they blocked me, so I didn't join that group. And it was like, oh, all right, fair enough.
The other thing as well is, if you're going to set something, then you need to stand by it, and you need to have those categories in place. So, for example, you know, your sector, you know, creatives, you've got someone who does social media strategy, someone who does social media organic, someone who does social media advertising. That potentially is 3. I mean, we only did organic social media when we were running our business. We never did any advertising. Yep. We did some strategy, depending on the client.
Websites is another one.
Didn't do websites.
You've got people, coders, you've got people who build on WordPress, you've got SEO people, you've got designers who design adverts for websites. There's 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 jobs in every different sector absolutely. Of every different thing. And it's like, do you do them all?
Well, and because it's stopping people from trying to lock out the whole thing. So, you know, you've got a builder who locks out plastering, carpentry.
Well, exactly. What does builder mean? What does builder mean? Because builder is the catch-all, isn't it? It's like the builder. Well, does he build a wall? Does he build a kitchen? Does he build a bathroom?
Meeting other business people, especially in your sector and in your area, is so valuable. In all of my networking career, I have done more business with people that do the same thing as I do than I did with anybody else, because you get each other. You understand. If you take that time, for example, when I was in the wedding industry, I made sure I knew as many wedding photographers as I could and found out about what their packages were, how they worked, because I wasn't right for everybody.
No.
And I couldn't do all of the work that was coming my way. So I would pass it on because I knew about their businesses.
You want to pass it on to the right people, because if you pass it on to the right people, that makes you look good. And if that makes you look good, the next time they go to need something, it'll be like, oh, we need to speak to Jill because she was really good and she put us on to the right person.
Yeah.
And that's a really good example, because you've got portrait photographers, wedding photographers, branding photographers.
Absolutely. Mm. And also the other thing that we did was I collated, it was actually a spreadsheet. I can't believe I did a spreadsheet, but I did a spreadsheet on all the types of equipment that we had and the lenses we used, etc. Because if something goes, I mean, we'd always carry two of everything. But if something went down, you could then go, okay, you can speak to this person. If they're not using it on that day, you could borrow it. It was that trust thing. And it was brilliant, because when you're going out to do something like that on a day, you need, nobody wants to go ill. But we had one of our people that broke their leg the day before. Well, they couldn't do a wedding.
Yeah.
And one of our group stepped in. Here we go. Break a leg.
They walked into the job.
They walked into the job.
Yeah.
But, so the client was dead happy, and having that collaborative mindset, not going, all of the business needs to be mine. There's plenty of business out there for
everybody. There's also the opportunity where it makes you look bigger. And you say, if you go into a job like as a one-man band and, going back to builders, okay, so you're let's say you are really good at building walls, and that's your main thing, and you go in there, you do that, and then you speak to a roofer, and you've got that guy who can do that. Then you've got the carpenter, and then you've got the plasterer, and then you've got, and you bring all these people together, and all of a sudden you've got a collective unit, and you can go to a job and say, we can do it all for you. I've got all of these people.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that makes you look bigger. It makes you look like you can actually fulfill the job.
One of those groups that got together was absolutely great. And then they went out and they purchased land and they started building houses, and they did, it was amazing how that collaboration got together. Obviously they got to know, like, and trust each other.
Yeah.
And they was in control of their cash flow, which was not relying on some of these other big building companies.
And so, that was where it really came from. And having, I always refer back to about 12 years of networking experience. And so having done lots of different ones, and, there's so many variations, and all of them have their place. And I think it's important to say that, but it's seeing what I feel is the right way to go, and collaboration, no lockouts is so strong. And even with people you don't realize, you don't think, oh, there's not going to be any collaboration there. You're not even thinking about it, because they're not in the same sort of industry. And all of a sudden they say, oh, we've worked together on this. And you're like, oh, fair enough. Didn't even think of that.
I think the other part of collaboration in networking is opening up your contacts. Even if you're talking to somebody that may not be in your industry, etc. But if you start to find out who they're looking for, you can, we've all got contacts. You can't sit there and go, I know this person, this person, this person, this person. But actually, when you've sparked that conversation, then that all becomes like relevant. I was sitting at Linda's event at Whitstable the other day, and there was a gentleman there that was telling his story, and I was like, I've got a contact for you. I know who can help you with that particular thing.
You're quite good at that.
Yeah, well, I love it. It's so good. Yeah. It's so powerful. And you feel, going back to your mindset, you feel really good about it.
Yeah.
And fingers crossed, because they're having that conversation tomorrow, and that would never have happened.
So do you find, though, so what I've said to the people in Maidstone, because there aren't really, there's a few lockouts in Maidstone, but what I've said to people is the key, really, if you haven't got a lockout, is to attend consistently. Because what we found was that some financial advisors, for example, weren't attending because when they came, there was four other financial advisors in the room. So I think you've got to limit it to the number of, because if you had, like if you had one of your events at 20 people and five of them were financial advisors, that would be a bit, you know.
I see your point. But I mean, that, generally that would only happen once.
Yeah, because the others wouldn't come.
But then you have a chat to them about how you can get around that. So I've got two utility warehouse people, and we've had a conversation, and they don't tread on each other's toes. Mm. It's like, so you know, we've got Sheil who goes to Canterbury and Whitstable, and Johnny who goes to some of the others, and it works really well. But even when you've got them in the same room, they've got the respect for each other that they talk about different things.
Yeah,
and again, as an IFA. There are a million things you could talk about. And obviously there's so many things that, are you talking about mortgages? Are you talking about pensions? Even these sort of categories, you can break them categories into a million things. Mm. It's like, so there are so many things, even if you did have five people in the room, there's plenty for them to talk about.
But they need to really talk about it beforehand so that they know what each of them is actually, you know, so they are all talking about different things rather than all talking about the same thing.
And perhaps choose something that you're really... really good at, that you really, really enjoy doing, because that will resonate when you choose a topic to talk about, that will resonate with somebody in the room.
Well, you'll see, because most people light up when you talk about something that you're passionate about. You'll light up. You know, I talk about networking, all of a sudden my shoulders go up and I'm talking, and I get all excited. I might even get a bit more scouse, and it, you know, that happens. But it is, you know that you're exactly right. You know, you talk about the bit. Use an IFA as the example. You talk about the bit that you're really good at. What is the bit that you're, you know, mortgages? I'm really good at helping people get their finances in line, so that they can have a mortgage. So they can go down that road, or you know, whatever their need is.
And once they've done that, if they've supplied that and done that, the pensions, the protection, all of the other stuff will come on, because they've got to know that person.
Yeah.
So by just niching down and talking about one thing is very, very powerful.
But also, coming back to the networking, is not all about the referral. So it's about what can you get from the room as well as referrals. So it's not just about, oh, there's five IFAs in the room. What can they do for you?
Mm.
What can the other four do for you? Mm. You know, is there anything they can do? As Jill was saying a minute ago, actually, like loads of photographers having lots of different things and saying, you know, yeah, what can they do? What can you do for me? Like, I'm going on holiday in a few weeks' time. Can you do X, Y, or Z? Or my current book is really full. I'm not sure I can take any more clients on. Or there's, you know, and they're just general sort of things. But it might be something that there might be one thing that you're really not comfortable with within the sector. One of the other ones, they love that. And all of a sudden, them two can have a chat. And all of a sudden, there you go, collaboration.
So, I mean... like for me, I suppose you'd call my category like business advisors. I'm not a coach. I'm a business strategist, which is very different from having a coach. And there's so many different avenues within that business owners may need. Mm. It's very specialist. So I deal with communities, anybody with a community. But I know other people that will deal with other things. Mm. And then on that journey with helping those business owners, you're not always the right person to deal with that bit. So you bring other people in. But if you don't know about them and you haven't met them and you understand what they do, I like to go, I know somebody who could help you. And I think if we go back to the builder, he most probably could plaster a wall. But is that his absolute best work? or would a plasterer...
Does he want to do it?
Yeah.
As well, because I think that's something else that we've got to take into account, is that, you know, there's certain jobs that we all do that we don't want to do.
Mm.
Can you outsource that? Well, actually, if you had a team that was a plasterer or a carpenter, or, then, yeah, there you go. You can do that bit.
Well, I had a situation which come about from going networking, and I had, I think, say over in October, I had 5 discovery strategy sessions with client, with prospective, well, they were clients because they booked, and that was all okay. And you can do that work, but there's only some people that I could take forward from that to help them further. Yeah. And I think it's about being open and honest. It's not about taking people's money. It's saying, now we've got you here. Now you need to do this. And these are the people that can help you. Yeah. And then that person will always go, oh, right, Jill can help you with this. We understand that business. So I think it is about collaboration, not only with other people in networking, but also be collaborative with your clients and your prospects, and be honest, because people are fed up with getting their fingers burnt. Yep. And you ruin your integrity and your reputation if you don't do the right thing. Do the right thing.
Yeah. And I think as well that having 5 is an extreme. I don't think I've ever come across that. Even though we don't do lockouts, I think the most we've ever had is 3.
But you know why? Exactly what you said, because IFAs, financial advisors, are locked out of most groups.
Yeah.
So as soon as a new one comes on, you know, a new group, they will be looking to go to that. A bit like what you said with the graphic
designers.
I think
that's why we had so many. But I mean, it's settled down now. So we've got 2 that attend consistently. And obviously, because they are consistent, they are the ones that are going to build the relationships.
Yes, of course, absolutely.
And that is exactly right. When you have the opportunity to go to groups, don't go once and think it's going to happen. Don't go once every 3 months and think you're going to walk in the room and everyone's going to be like, ah, oh, I hate it. It's like, no, that's not how it works. If you go to one and then you miss 1 or 2, you're then going to have to start rebuilding again. It's like, you know, you need to be consistent. If you miss 1 in 6, then fair enough. But
especially if it's monthly.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially if you're in financial sector or you're in the legal sector. You've got to build up that know, like and trust. People are not just going to go, oh yeah, come around and I'm going to tell you all about my finances.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Or I'm going to introduce you into my best client. It's a long game.
Mm.
And that's the thing with, you know, we've got someone who took on a client at the event we've got tonight, actually. So they came last month. They've taken on a client because they've met this client twice, but they're not coming tonight. And it's like, what are you doing? Not coming tonight? You know, it's crazy.
It's the odd one, I think, fair enough. You know, it is. But if it becomes a habit, and obviously you turn up for 1, miss 2, turn up for 1, miss 2. Yeah. You're not going to see the greatest benefit from it, and then you'll get to the end of your year's membership and think, oh well, I've not really got much from that. Well, actually, you've got loads from it, but what you're only looking at the pound notes, or you're only looking at when you're in the room, and actually, that's not the case.
Oh, it's funny because I've started saying that the being in the room, as much as I love networking, I think it's really important. I think, you know, being consistent, learning from others, all those things are vital, not just about getting the work, but it's the other benefits that you offer on your membership, that I offer on membership. I mean, I found a membership was like £120, you know, and I had a lady message me this morning and so I haven't been able to get to the networking events. And then I pointed out everything that she has had for that money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's huge.
Yeah,
huge.
But on top of that, it's not just about referrals. It's about, you know, you turn up to a room. And I remember we had one very early days, someone came along to network and they joined SPC and everything. And they came to a meeting and with about 5 months left of the year. So they've only been coming about 7 months. Oh, we've not had anything from it. And I did bite a little bit. And I'm not going to lie, because actually... Because the love of collaboration, they collaborated with someone else in the room, which opened up a massive area for them.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what does that mean? You're collaborating with someone, which means that you're now able to go to a far, far bigger area because they cover an area you don't and everything else.
You would never have had that connection.
You made that connection at SPC. What do you not value that?
And I think it's the extra learning that you get when you're watching and you're listening to people, how they are working with others, it opens up your mind. This is what inspiring. Is so important. You hear other people's stories about what they're doing for their marketing or, you know, successes, that sharing wins. They're also, you know, we spoke about this, they're also sharing challenges that they've had. You can help other people in that way. And it is, you know, I do think that those people out there that are just looking for the return on investment as a pound note, you need to look at it in many more areas. You need to look at it in, for your mindset, obviously for the pound notes, for your time,
yeah, of course,
for the connections, the connections you've made. Yeah. Have you put yourself out there and had proper one-to-ones, not a one-to-one where you are just selling to somebody, but asking about that other person's business? Because that's when the joy really starts to happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have those one-to-ones and you go, right, how can we work together? Yeah. How can I help you?
I've known one of my members for years, and I'm talking absolute 30 years. And something happened just a few weeks ago, and he suddenly said about a service that he provides, and I didn't know. And he comes to my networking events. And then I said, so do you do this as well, don't you? And he was like, yeah. I went, but why don't you talk about it at any of the events?
I've been talking about that recently quite a lot, where we probably only talk about 10 or 20% of what we actually do. We only talk about a tiny bit, which is why I think SBC works really well, because you have that conversation. Someone will say, hi there, I'm a graphic and web designer. I can help you with your websites, or I can design some stuff. And then people say to me, do you create these? And to point at a roller banner. Well, yeah, of course I do. I didn't know you did that. What do you mean you didn't know I did that?
because they don't understand what a graphic designer does.
Exactly, that's the point.
And we're too frightened to ask.
I've left it a few months. I'm not saying I do roller banners, so that means everyone should just know. And it's like, well, no, these are new people. And it's like all of a sudden, oh, flipping heck, all right. Yeah, but you only talk about 10 or 20%. And so that's where the conversation...
And that's a really good in for you, actually, roller banners are a lot of entry point into other things, isn't it? So actually, perhaps we should be thinking about the entry points for our business too. So when we're going networking, because there are, I mean, Lynn, you've just said you've got 5 new guests coming this evening.
Tonight, yeah.
Yeah. So don't assume that people know what you do.
Yeah.
Give them an entry point to start that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, one of our members, Hayden Bloomfield, he is doing a service, which I've recommended to my son this morning, and I'm happy to recommend. So let me know if you hear this. Is that he's taking from people a list of their services, and then what he's doing is he's upselling them. So he said to me, Lynn, I know you're a networking group. He said, but have you got anything that you sell that you feel that you're not selling? And I said, well, yeah, actually, I have. So the way he's done it is like with his gardening business, basically, he's got a friend who also does a gardening business. And this friend has been going to other people's houses and seeing they've had a fence put up. And he said, well, who did you get to do the fence? And they said, oh, so-and-so did it. He went, but I do fences. And they said, oh, sorry, I didn't know. So what he's doing is he's taking people's databases from them, and he's letting their customers know all the services they provide. It's definitely worth you speaking to him.
Yeah.
And he's putting this, he's including putting you on a CRM, Go High Level is going to be part of what he's doing. So your customers actually are put on Go High Level for you. I mean, the amount of work he's putting is phenomenal, and it's £99 a month.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Really fantastic value. So with everything you do, like the magazine,
He reached out to me the other day, actually. So he's going to come. I think he said Medway and Gravesend that he was interested in. So he's hopefully he's going to come to them and see what we're all about. But that I'm well interested in that.
Yeah,
definitely
worth it. And we're doing it. And I've recommended it to my son, because my son does external cleaning. And, you know, external cleaning is so much more than just, you know, cleaning someone's patio. He does tennis courts and he does the lines on tennis courts.
Like, say, 10 or 20%. You know, external cleaning, what does that mean? Driveways.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think.
Everyone thinks driveways. Okay, driveways and gutters. Yeah, fair enough. But you stop there.
Yeah.
You don't think tennis courts. You don't think you know, business premises.
You don't know what you don't know.
Car parks.
Do you?
Yeah, car parks. He's done loads of those.
Have you got a car park outside your building?
Reline
it. Like it being sorted out?
Mm.
I'm sure he probably does that. It's like, you know, so it's all of that that you think, well.
And on my estate, there's loads of those buildings with the white facade, is it called? Like the front is white, so it's got brick at the bottom, then it's white like plaster at the top. And some of those, when you see that the guttering has dripped down, it's like all these marks.
Yeah.
You know, to have that clean.
Looking nice.
Yeah, in the spring is, and he does all that. But, you know, it's getting it out there, isn't it?
100%. But that's where both of our networking, where you have a conversation about stuff, and obviously you've got the questions on the table, which would lead back to these types of things.
Yeah.
I allow people to talk, have a conversation and ask questions in the room. And so both ways allows people to dig into the other 80%. Because all of a sudden you've got people who will say, do you do X, Y, or Z? Or can you do this? Or have I got this right? Is this? And all of a sudden you will answer in a slightly different way. And as you said a minute ago, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I think perhaps what I've learned from this is, like, perhaps our business owners should be, and this me included, you know, say what your entry level point is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say we do from this to this. And perhaps, you know, on the questions, you know, give a service that you've forgotten that you even do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you just don't, you can't, as a business owner, you know what you do.
Yeah.
So, and you think everybody else knows what you do and they don't.
And you can't say, I do everything.
No.
You can't say that because everyone just rolls their eyes. Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Tell a story about what you've done this week.
Yeah.
You know, how have you helped your client this week? One of the jobs that you've done. And that will resonate with somebody because those stories stay in your head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stories stay in your head. About that, and that helps you to remember.
Classic, actually, story was one that you told about coming to the Whitstable one. So, you know, going up to London, networking, paying all that money, and yet being in a room, and it's also, networking isn't the numbers game. Mm. People walk in and go, oh, wow, there's 100 people. Yeah, well, how many of those are you going to get talked to?
Well, exactly. You're still only going to talk to 7 or 8 people.
Yeah, yes. Have a meaningful conversation with them. And, yeah, that return on investment about looking at, you know, the time, and you know, I had a great time, but actually the business that's come has come from more local networking with fewer people in the room where I had deeper conversations.
Exactly. It's in the deeper conversations that you get to know more. You know, yes, you can have them conversations, whether you go to the chamber events or the FSB events or, you know, 100 plus people in the room. Yeah, they're great, you know, for numbers, but you're still only going to have them 7 or 8 conversations. And, you know, and on the face of it, they're all 5-minute conversations, so you're not really having a proper conversation. So it's in the conversation, you can then say, oh, we need to have a one-to-one. Okay, fair enough. So of them 7 or 8, you might have 2 or 3 one-to-ones. And all of a sudden, you know, everyone should have 7 or 8, to be honest. You should have a one-to-one with everyone because you should get to know everyone in as much detail as you can.
Yeah.
But obviously appreciate, you know, we're all busy and things, so you've got to sort of allow for that as well. But yeah.
It's very valuable marketing, though. Those one-to-ones are very valuable marketing.
Yeah.
And I think for people who are coming into networking, really try and get yourself some great questions.
Mm.
Have your own great questions. You know, ask people, you know, what are the pain points that you serve, that you solve for your client? Yeah. What are you most proud of in your business? Where are you going? What's your goal? How can I help you? Is there anybody that I might know that you would like an introduction to? You know, ask those questions. And that enables the other person who may not be as comfortable, they might be nervous, or they might not have done as much networking as you, help them.
Yep.
You know, and when somebody asks you a great question, remember it and ask. When you ask a great question, remember that it might get asked back, so you have your answer ready.
Yeah, I've done that before. I've asked a great question and then someone said to me, well, sure, I think you did it on one of the radio shows and I didn't know the answer.
You did it. I was having a conversation with one of your guests the other day and I just said, oh, and he said something like, oh, I haven't been here because I've been up in Birmingham. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? And told me what he was doing in Birmingham. And he said, yeah, I've been walking the floor at the exhibitions. And I was like, sorry, I don't understand that phrase. What do you mean? And he was like, well, I'm looking for new products, et cetera. And I was like, right, what's the hottest thing on the market that you found? And he was telling me about that and how it was really great for estate agents and letting agents. And I was like, right, I've got a few of those. I could help you with that. And then I just said to him, you haven't got a purple cow, have you? And he just rolled about laughing. Why do you want a purple cow? I said, because I've actually got somebody who wants a purple cow.
Mm.
He went, yep, done. They're talking.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. So that went from, I'm up in Birmingham, that apologising for not being here there often, walking the floor in Birmingham, which I didn't understand. He told me I will get him some estate agents, letting agents, and also that contact. But yeah.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Mm,
I mean, there's lots of new networking groups popping up at the moment. Why do you think that is, Jill?
Because I think they're still finding niches in the market that are not being met by certain things or certain. It's not only the format, it's personality types and how, you know, very, very much on my show, as you know, I have at least a networking owner that might be starting up or are starting up. And every time you speak to them, there's something different and their story is a different story. We have so many business owners out there, so many.
Do you think that's why the Creative Collective has been such a success? It's really been a success, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think so, because we still haven't got enough business owners going out. And that, you know, we're in a minority, those who network.
Yeah.
We really are in a minority.
It's amazing how within this bubble that you think, oh, everyone must be self-employed. I actually looked it up the other day. It's only 1 in 8 people are actually self-employed. And that, I think that number includes side hustles and things like that. So actually it's a lot less, right? Because you wouldn't count some people as self-employed because obviously, you know, some people who utility warehouse and that sort of thing, where some people do it as a business. Some people do it as I'll talk to people as and when, but I think that number includes them as well. And so it's like, so actually people who are properly self-employed, it's probably like 1 in 10, 1 in 12. And you think, like, you know, when you really think about it, what do people understand about what networking is? I didn't have a clue about it before I was self-employed.
And you know, most of those people are not networking.
No, that's right.
They are not networking.
No, they're not. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people that aren't, because...
And a lot of them go out of business because they haven't got any business. And so I'm very much aware that people are very nervous about coming networking. Yeah. Through their personality types, through what they do. And I think it's making these spaces where people can come on, you can tell them about the networking group, you can tell them about, look, this is not a hard sell, you are invited to come and have a look. Just take your time, you will find something for you. So they can find things where if they want to stand up, they can stand up. If they want to sit down, they can sit down. Or some people want something. I spoke to somebody the other day. Oh, I don't want to go to somewhere and I'm being educated. Yeah. And then some people do. Yeah. But it's, you know, you just, I think talking to business owners, and I'll actually, in your position, I'd be saying, what are you looking for?
Yeah. Always. Yeah.
What are you looking for? And, you know, we're not everybody's right for everybody,
but
I can definitely show you a group that would be right for you. And I think people will work their way through things as well.
Yeah.
So if they start off in a very quiet atmosphere with maybe coffee morning or something like that, then as they grow and they get their confidence, you can see it. You're going to watch your members flourish and grow and help others.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think my understanding is that business networking, as we now know it, started in the 90s with BNI, came over from America. That's my understanding of where business networking in the UK sort of began, really. Obviously, there was other types of things before, but as we know it now. But I think over the last 10 years, the environment has changed. And I think everyone is changing. COVID probably had a massive bit to do with that. And I think that's probably why, as Jill said, there's so many groups that are coming out now that are slightly different. You've got your women only ones, you've got your networking, you've got, you know, and, you know, lockouts, no lockouts. So you're giving people the choice.
Evening, lunchtime,
evening,
morning,
lunchtime,
afternoon.
Exactly. You're giving people loads of choice because that's what people want. You know, I remember when I was working at the newspaper and it was just as cold calling started to become people were getting really irritated by people phoning up and going, would you like to buy some advertising? you know, and so it was starting to get hard, and you were looking at that sort of cold calling and just thinking, I'm not sure how long this has got left, because people are just not accepting it anymore. You know, the people don't want you to phone them up.
When I started the dating agency, I used to take the kids out and, you know, one be on their skates and one be on their scooter, and we would like drop leaflets, and it wasn't very well received, to be honest, when you went door to door. But when I went on the industrial estates, they were amazing. Yeah. Like, so you go on the industrial estates, you walk in with the kids in tow, you walk in and it's like, you know, do you know anyone who wants, and they're like, yes, so-and-so needs that. Yeah. And they were really open to it. I even remember going in the AA on the 2020 site. Probably can't even get in the building now.
Yeah.
But I remember walking there and saying to the receptionist, hi, you know, can I leave? Would you mind putting it on the staff canteen? She went, absolutely, no problem. She said, I know a couple of people in here that could do that.
But you bringing up that, I've said this to business owners, you know, go and deliver your leaflets where they are needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Be brave. You can go into so many things. I mean, I was in my dentist the other day, and actually they had a huge, beautiful wall-mounted Perspex card holder, and that must have had 60 business cards, different business cards in. Yeah? Mm.
Yep.
Look for ways, fish and chip shops, cafes, depending what you're – get out there. Don't – why are we ignoring what has always worked?
Well, I think the question is, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah,
they're going to say no.
Yeah, but they're going to say no. So?
Yeah,
so then you're in the same place as you were before.
And I would say, get yourself those Perspex leaflets holders, business card. Go prepared so that your leaflets are not laying on the top of a cabinet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Go and be proud of what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be proactive.
Yeah, be proactive. Mm. And, you know, the good old double-sided leaflet, the double-sided business card has got its place.
For the love of God, please don't do one-sided.
Oh, it does annoy me.
It's like the difference in the cost.
It's minimal, isn't it?
Let's say you print 500 copies of an A5 flyer and you've printed it on one side. If you print the same thing on both sides, it will cost you about 10p more. It's less than £1 more just to have it printed on both sides rather than just one side. If you can obviously design something else, you know, use Canva or whatever, or come to someone like me, that's fine.
Yeah.
But print out, make sure you print it on both sides,
it's my big bugbear. and I would always say, make sure your leaflets are not squishable, so that you get them on good paper, so people can't just it goes through the door, scrunch it up, straight in the bin. We launched our garden maintenance business on real high quality, double sided, thick leaflets.
Yeah, if you go for like a business card quality, for a flyer,
because they tended to go on the pinboard, rather than in the bin. I mean, it was amazing psychological difference, but that's what it is. I think you have to think about your business and where are the people that you want to contact? Where are they? Where do they go? Yeah. And often, your local shop, have they got something where you can put your business cards up? Yep. Back in the day when my mum and dad had post offices, we used to have the old plastic thing in the window and used to be able to put your card in and whatever. You still get to know, let people know what you do.
But they've monetized it now, haven't they? It's 50p a week or something.
Oh, we'd always monetize it.
You couldn't
go in for nothing. And we used to have little dates on the back, so we knew when the card was coming out. God, I do love a shop.
What do you think about those branded, leaflet holders where you got your brand actually on the front of the leaflet holder? You know,
stuff
the cardboard
like
ones.
Yeah.
I think stuff like that really does work. When we had, back in the day when we had the magazine and we had stands in Sainsbury's and Co-op and places like that, and we had them cardboard stands, and they were really good. They were really well made. And all right, after a while we'd have to replace them because someone had kicked them or something like that, and they are only made of cardboard. But for at least 3 to 6 months, they would sit there, and they've got all your branding all over them, and they look brilliant. Mm. So I think they really do work.
Mm. I just don't think people are thinking enough about where they're marketing. And, you know, if you're after local people as well, your local magazines, your church magazines, you know, put an advert in there. But not the once. Mm. Yeah. Oh. It's back to consistency. I mean, yeah. I know this is going to make you pull your hair out because obviously you know all the stats in this. It's the time that you don't have that advert in there that somebody's going to come and say, well, where they've gone? Oh, they're fly by night is what my mum used to say.
Yeah.
They're fly by night.
Well, that's exactly it. If you go, like when I was at the newspaper, the Canterbury ad scene, which was the paper I was working on, I think it did something like 64,000 copies. Obviously, that's the free one that goes through the doors and everything else. And so you would go into that newspaper and everyone would see it, 64,000. And then they said 3.5 times is the readership. So you're talking about 200,000 people. And you think, okay, 200,000 people are going to see my advert. Okay, brilliant. Of them 200,000 people, who are actually looking at the classified ads, who are actually looking at the, you know, and so you're probably at best 10%. You know, so then you're talking 20,000. So then of them 20,000 people, who actually need my advert? Who actually need what I need? And it's like 1%. So then you're down to maybe 200 people. Do they need it now or do they need it in 6 months' time? And they're not going to save your advert.
No.
You know, so it is that, exactly what you say. It's like the probability of you getting someone in the one paper that you put it in. Don't forget it's weekly. And it's like, so there's another one in 7 days' time.
Yeah, and it is that constant seeing somebody's logo, seeing somebody there. For me, that means they're an established company. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if I needed that, then I'd go. You may tell somebody else, I've seen an advert in the paper, you needed that.
If you want to be local, if that's your thing, if you're like a hyper-local, like say the plumber or something like that, and you want to target one village or one town, That's exactly it. You target the papers, you target the social media, and you get your person to do it that way. You get all of the keywords through your website with the SEO. If you've got the budget, you start looking at your van, you start looking at the billboards around the place, because you're getting seen
everywhere
in 7 or 10 different places, and people will start to see the name. And then when they need you, because they won't need you on day one, or you know the odd person might, but realistically, it might be 3 months, it might be 6, it might be 2 years.
Well, it's like the adverts on the roundabouts.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was a great idea.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
That was a great idea.
Yeah.
You know? So you would just get noticed. And I think it is that constant. I think business owners get fed up because they're not getting the clients that they want, but it takes time. You've got to keep checking back at what you're actually doing and what's working for you.
But also use something like a QR code or use something that is going to help you to track. So if you're putting an advert into anything, use a QR code that is specific for that one thing. So let's say you put it in a newspaper. All right, newspapers aren't really a thing anymore, but you know they are still sort of there. But back in the day, it would be, right, okay, I'm going to put this QR code on this flyer and I'm going to put it through, I don't know, 500 doors in Deal or something like that, or Maidstone, or whatever. That QR code is the only thing to that page. So the page on your website or wherever the QR code goes to, the only way to get to that page is this QR code. So then you know, you've tracked, and then behind that is a form, and then someone asks for the information that is on there, whatever you've asked, whatever you've said. And then you get the form through into your inbox and you have 10 of them. You know for a fact that 10 people have come from them flyers.
Yeah.
Pete, it's tracking is what a lot of it is all about now, isn't it?
If you can't track it, you know, I remember, like, going back to the paper again, I remember phoning up the people who would advertise and, oh, I got nothing from it. And I say, well, how do you know that? Have you been tracking the phone calls? Have you, you know, when people phone in, have you been saying to them, where did you hear from us? Oh, no, we haven't. So how do you know then?
It's a bit like radio, isn't it?
How do you know you didn't get anything from
it? It's like radio, it's like networking.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you should be keeping an eye on what you're giving and what you're getting. Okay.
Well, funnily enough, we need to put...
You've got lots of referrals you've given to me.
Yeah. So have I not given to you on...
No.
Okay, so I need to. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, so I've started tracking mine, but I was saying to Dean Johnson actually about it the other day, and I said to him, you need to go in and put in a thank you for the money. And he was like, yeah, no problem, because he's still a member on there. And he was saying, I don't understand why people aren't using it. I don't understand why they're not tracking what they're doing, you know, because the facility is there.
Yeah, and it's really important, because that is part of your, you as a business owner, you're the CEO of your company. You need to know, you need to have your eyes on what's going on. Mm. And we forget. And this is when we're talking about networking, when people come up and go, oh, I haven't got anything out of it. Well, actually, you're not tracking your numbers. They're most probably not tracking the marketing activity. Yeah. Mm. What are they do? Because networking is part of your marketing activity.
Mm.
Mm. And it's important. It really is important. It's a real eye-opener. I check mine now every quarter, what I'm doing, have a look back, because I get into bad habits. I get into doing things that I think are generating and they're not. And maybe I'm doing them because I'm enjoying them. And you know what? That's all right. If I'm enjoying it, that's absolutely fine. Yep. But, you know, every quarter, I think we should at least give ourselves a little shake up and go, you know, we're coming into a new season. What do I need to change?
But you make a really good point there. It's like, if you're enjoying it, it's like you go to watch a film.
Yeah.
Like you go to the cinema to watch a film and that costs you 50 quid or whatever because you bought popcorn. Mm. And apparently popcorn is very expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it ends up, oh, hold on, it's because I've got a million kids. That's what it is. But you end up, you know, it ends up costing.
Yeah, but you've enjoyed that experience.
You've spent 15, 20 quid or whatever, but you've enjoyed that experience. So it's the same thing. It's like if you're going to a networking group and you're enjoying it, you're enjoying the people, you're enjoying the time that you're there, you enjoy the food that you get whilst you're there, that's okay.
Keep going, because that is your mindset.
Yeah.
That might be your outlet where you can actually talk to people about what's going on. Yeah. They understand business. You know, that's why I go to the pub.
Mm.
Pubs, but again, bars. Because I enjoy that. And actually, I network a lot and I will always find somebody to talk to, much to my husband's disgust. And we'll have a chat, and, you know, business blooms from there.
But again, that's the thing, isn't it? That it's, you know, when people say, oh, I didn't get anything from it. But you've enjoyed it. I can see that you're enjoying it when you're there.
Yeah.
So you got that.
Yeah.
It's like that, if nothing else, which I doubt, you got that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so there is that. It's like, you know, there's very, very little in this world is free. And so even if it is just a bit of enjoyment or a bit of an outlet for you to talk, like I say, you get out, as we've talked about, you get out of things what you put in.
Yeah, yeah. I think mental health, when we go back to the mindset thing, especially at this winter time when people do seem to get a little bit lower, yeah, get out, go and speak to people. Find people that you can talk to where you can share, oh, I've had a bit of a bad week. Yeah.
It's funny actually, because this time of year when I was with my husband, we had a fencing company, and fencing, I think any trades can be really difficult. You'll have work for like 2 weeks, then you've got no work, then you might have work for a month, or if you're lucky, you've got work for 6 weeks, then you've got no work. And he'd say, Lynn, we've got work, like we've only got work next week. And I'd say, right, let's go out and post some leaflets. We'd go out, we'd post leaflets all around Walderslade and that. And then, you know, and then suddenly you get all the work coming. Yeah. And then we'd have 6 weeks of work. And then we'd stop, and then it'd be like, Lynn, we've got a week. Right, get out, let's post leaflets. We'd get out, we'd post leaflets, and then we get more work. And we were advertising in the paper as well.
Yeah.
But that was more about the trust.
Yeah.
That was before BNI days. That was more about the trust levels of people seeing that branding constantly. And obviously the van. So
you can't underestimate the power of a van. You can't underestimate the power of getting your vehicle sign written is
well,
big.
You've got your massive car sign written with Synergy on that. How have you found that?
Yeah, funnily enough, I've had some customers who've taken photographs of it in car parks and things like that. I haven't had photographs of it actually. Well, obviously when I'm on the road, because they would have to be.
You want to do what Nick's done with his lip balm and get people to start like putting it on social media whenever you see the car.
Yeah, put it on socials. Well, I have had people. Well, funnily enough, we're asking people to do it with our mints, and people have been doing it with the mints, but not as much as they are with Nick. I've got to say,
you're going to have to be good then, aren't you? If you're going to put that out there, we're going to have to find out where you are in your car.
Yeah.
Where's Linda in her car?
Yeah. And I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. Obviously, all the time. I mean, there was one day when I went down to the Bridge at Canterbury. I was in Maidstone Networking, then the Bridge in Canterbury. Then I think I was in Tunbridge Wells. I was literally all over the county. I had to shoot back to Maidstone first to do some stuff there. So, yeah, I am all over. I have to be the perfect driver as well.
Of course you do. Yeah, of course you do. Because, yeah, that's when you'll get people talking. But I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that idea, especially as you say, you're here, there and everywhere. That's a really good idea. When my first husband, Vince, and I had our pub, we had the Earl Grey courtesy bus, which was a 12-seater. And somehow it was a good idea that I took everybody home. Didn't think that one through, did I?
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
is this before or after the 12 wines?
No drinking and driving then. No drinking and driving then. But, you know, it really did get us noticed. And, you know, I still don't think there's any pubs that provided that service. But yes,
I don't think there is.
We did.
I've always said I want a bus.
And listen to this. I was actually speaking to somebody I met at a networking event the other day, and very nice guy, very, very posh, in a completely different level of business to what I'm in. And I just said something about a pub, and he said, oh, what was your pub called? And I said, the Earl Grey. And he said, do you like tea? And I was like, I don't actually know where this Earl Grey's come from or whatever. And he said, I can tell you. He said, it come from the Prime Minister, Lord Grey, inviting the Chinese over, and they gave him some tea and they decided to call that Earl Grey. And I said to him, that's a really unusual thing for a young man to know. He said, well, because that Prime Minister was my great-great-grandfather.
Oh, wow. Oh, what a great story.
So he was a descendant So he was a descendant of Earl Grey?
Yeah.
Flipping heck. That's all right, isn't
and
it?
That come about because I mentioned that and I said that name was Earl Grey, and then that, I mean, honestly, you know, when you're meant to, and I met this young guy, I was invited to the London, Sadiq Khan, where's he based? I can't think. In London. Yeah, the council, the big one. So yeah. We was invited there, and it's the security is really much tighter than even going into an airport. So this poor guy had to take his belt off, his shoes off, had to undo his rucksacks, and I was standing behind him, and he was like, this is embarrassing. And then when we went through, we actually got talking, had a one-to-one, and actually I'm just about to pass him some business. And that all come around from...
So you've told me a few stories about him.
That all came around because he had no clothes on. Okay, I hear you.
So just a few, you've got a couple of minutes, John, or a minute to... a few final words from you on, either mindset or collaboration, whatever you think you can give someone some help with, useful tip, something that will help our listeners.
Okay, so I've got something written down here, which basically fresh eyes bring fresh ideas. So working with others challenges assumptions and sparks creativity that doesn't happen in isolation. So obviously when you throw ideas around and you bounce it around, the conversation sparks things happen, and all of a sudden within that conversation, like we've been doing this morning, it's like actually, there's been some great conversations here that without that conversation, you think what you know is great, but actually with the conversation, you now know so much more. So I would say where possible, as Jill was talking about the one-to-ones, have conversations with people. It's, it doesn't have to be anything formal. It doesn't have to be anything exciting. It just
Be curious.
John's when we're in John's meeting and somebody doesn't use the whole, because when they use the whole 3 minutes to do their talking, it's sort of, everyone is conscious that the screen is changing. It's saying, next speaker, please. But when they just, they maybe do a short part, a story about what they've done, and then they put a question to the room, it really does get the conversation flowing and the whole room joins in.
Yeah.
It keeps everyone engaged as well.
It does. It keeps everyone engaged. Yeah. So I think having that sort of minute to a minute and a half to... which a lot of your members do that, don't they?
Yeah.
And then they put out the question. The only time it might be a bit embarrassing if nobody asks any questions.
I did have it once where somebody said they didn't speak at all. They just said, right, everyone knows what I do. Has anyone got any questions?
Oh.
And they didn't have any questions.
No, that's,
And it was like, ooh, Obviously, I'm always there. I'm always geared up with a question or two. But yeah, that was a little bit.
Yeah, mm.
It can be. But you know, generally speaking, if you start off with talking about a bit of business and just say, "Yeah, I've done this, this, and this this week," does anyone have any thoughts?
Yeah,
you know? Jill, just a quick one.
I think I would say for your mindset, set yourself a goal with a date. Okay, three little goals that you're going to do today or by the end of the week so that you can achieve something and give yourself a proper pat on the back. Really do give yourself a slap when you've done them. I think we all like to achieve, and I think that will move your business forward.
Brilliant. Well done. So thank you very much, Jill Russell from the Jill Russell Consultancy, and to John Turner from Simply Business Club.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Thanks very much. Have a great day, everyone. Bye now.
Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
Hello, Kent businesses. Tired of networking events that don't deliver? Synergy Networking Events has got you covered, whether you're a networking newbie or a seasoned pro. Our events make networking a breeze. Meet other businesses without the pressure. Enjoy pre-planned seating table moves and even a buffet. All for just £20 for non-members and £10 for members. Build relationships that last and get a result on your investment. Looking to grow your network and your business? Discover Simply Business Club, where connections turn into conversations. We're not your average networking group. At Simply Business Club, we offer conversational networking. Each meeting gives everyone 3 to 4 minutes to share their stories in open discussions, filled with insights and even testimonials for work done. It's more than networking. It's building relationships that work for you. Join Simply Business Club today. Visit simplybusinessclub.co.uk or call 01843 627 001 to find out how you can be part of our vibrant business community. Simply Business Club, where businesses meet conversations.
You've been listening to the Business Networking Radio Show with Linda Cloke and John Turner.